Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. Good morning, family out there. 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg. Good morning to you guys. Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3. What a day the Lord has made. And 91.1. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the Lord, Lamb of God. Amen. Kaylee, it's good to see you got a ride home.
I was getting ready to say, it's good to be here.
You almost got left at the tent last night.
I did.
Now, in our defense, we did check to make sure you had a ride.
And all my rides left me.
Heather was going to come back and get you if she needed
to. That would have been fun. I just told her last night.
Well, Eliza actually volunteered.
Oh.
She said, I'll go get her.
I said, next time I ever ride with y'all, I'll just bring a sleeping bag wherever we go.
Hey, we did make sure. We confirmed.
I confirmed with everyone else, too, but I was laid out on my face, and I get up, and they're all gone.
It was a good night. Brother Rick, how are you doing over there?
Doing well, and you?
We're doing good.
Good.
Eating some turkey, bacon, and sausage this morning with an egg. Hallelujah. It's fulfilling. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just loving what God's doing in the earth today. It is the joy of the Lord. Those who faint not in due season, they will reap.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, we got an exciting morning for you. I don't know what we're talking about. Holy Spirit hasn't told us yet, but we're going to talk about something to the glory of God this morning. And we are in Mark chapter 11 here in a few minutes. We did go to the tent meeting last night. And what's it called again? Wildfire Encounters, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I had to make sure I correct all my lingo. It was a great night of worship, and I ended up spending a lot of time with little kids. I think I was babysitting over during worship most time, and then I was just a collector of kids. I don't know where all these kids were coming from. I don't even know half of them, and then I became a collector of the one that was trying to get them not to throw rocks at each other, because that's what they were really wanting to do. They were dumping rocks on each other, and I was like, let's not do that. I don't know your name, but you probably should not embed that rock in that kid's head. That probably wouldn't be a good thing. And so, but it was a great night of worship. And I love the freedom in the house, and just the flags and all the little kids with the flags off in the corners and stuff. That was really cool. And great turnout. So again, I think they go tonight again at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if you want to go out and visit out there and participate in what God's doing, they are doing that. And then July 26th, the Kingdom First has their Crash Fair. Is that correct? My app is installing for some reason, so I can't get into my announcements. But
yes,
it's updating.
And we do have a new event up as well. Their Crash Fair is 9 a.m. on Saturday. And then that will last most of the day there in Caneyville. July 28th is Jesus Citywide Tent Crusade, Owensboro. That is Monday, July 28th through August 1st, and that's 7 p.m. nightly. And that's Evangelist Paul Tripp and Julie Tripp. And then Bible, Bikes, and Barbecue. That's there in Vine Grove, Saturday, August 2nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's at Optimus Park there in Vine Grove. There'll be food, music, different things. And then the Joseph Habedank concert at East Main Street Market. That is August 8th, which is a Friday, and that starts at 6 p.m. There in Litchfield, right off the square. And the new event, there is a series of services, Brush Arbor, there in Caneyville as well. Rabbit Flat Road is where this will be taking place, and Brother Roy Dockery and Delbert Dockery will be preaching, and there will be worship, prayer, and all kinds of stuff. So you can contact Brother Roy, and if you have our app, his number's on there. So that was our new one.
Amen. Well, I'll announce that one sporadically here and there until it gets closer to time. I think that's in September, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and just seeing, I mean, we're just hearing a lot of great testimonies of things God's doing in the earth, and just hearing a lot of great testimonies, and feel a great stirring around a lot of things. And just witnessing some amazing things and people surrendering things, and just amazing to see what God's doing. So I'm not going to go a morning without celebrating Him and Amen. Celebrating what He's doing, and I'm going to give Him praise for the glory that is being poured out on all flesh right now. If you're willing to receive, He's willing to pour.
Amen.
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 So, let's see here. We are in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. Because we really just got about the coat yesterday. That's kind of what we stuck on a lot. Verse 6. I think we're going to start in verse 6. Kaylee almost had to ride a coat home last night.
You know what? I had the faith that the Lord could just translate me home.
Well, you was needing it.
I was.
But I was on the phone with Josh and Jacob on the way home, and we were praying for a situation and then chatting for a minute, and then Jacob said, Jeremy wants to know if we were supposed to give her a ride home, and I said, yes. Then it unraveled that everybody left you.
Not everyone.
Mom,
we were there.
They were, but Dad said if he wouldn't have came back and said something, I was still out on my face and they were getting ready to
leave.
We
would have known. No, I saw you up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't see them. I thought I was left too. I thought the rapture happened.
That's
the
what
baby's
I said.
Gone.
I was like,
no, I'm just
Jesus,
kidding.
Why
I didn't
am I
think
still
that.
No, but I said, I repeated that scripture, you know, my mom and dad may forsake me, but the Lord will never leave me.
So. Verse 6. let me get my turkey bacon down there. And they told them what Jesus had said, and they had let them go. Basically, remember that Jesus had told them, whenever they want to know why you were getting this coat, He said, just tell them to have the Lord has need of it. And so He told them that, and they said, okay, all right, take them. And they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had been cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when He had looked around at everything, as it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. So here's the triumphant entry. He's coming in. And by the time He gets into Bethany, it's pretty late. And I would say, Hannah, as much as it pains me to say this, I do think that series did a really good job with the triumphant entry. And because I skipped forward. I just wanted to see the Last Supper, and so I do think they did really good with the triumphant entry. Still, a lot of things I don't think they did well, but I do think they did really well with the triumphant entry, and then leading right into the being late. Into the night, and of course that's when He's starting to build the cords. So I do think they did a good job with that one, kind of putting a picture what that would look like, because there was these, I mean, it was just the people that they were declaring, you know, the coming kingdom, because you've got to remember, they're still thinking He's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. So they, for the bulk of them, they have not received really the fullness of the revelation. He's not dying for a earthly kingdom, He's dying for a heavenly kingdom. And that what He's delivering them from is sin, not just the Roman oppression. So when they shout Hosanna, it's still a statement of, you know, my hero, my Savior, my Redeemer. You've come to rescue us. You're establishing the kingdom of what? Our father, David. You're going to come and establish that throne. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they're celebrating deliverance, but they don't even realize exactly what deliverance He's coming for still. And even His disciples are struggling with that, because if you remember just a chapter ago, James and John, his first cousins who grew up with him, you know, he's like, they're just wondering who's going to sit on this earthly kingdom. They don't even get the fact that He's actually, like, not coming back yet. Like, they just say, who's going to sit at your right hand and at your left hand? Because they think it's an earthly kingdom He's building. I mean, that's His disciples, two of His closest disciples. Those are two of the men that went to, like, the hidden rooms with Him, that went to the Mount of Transfiguration with Him, that were going into rooms other women weren't allowed to come, and yet they're still not figuring out what He's really coming to do. And it's astonishing that they just, like, we, I mean, it's not astonishing, like, in the sense of, I can't believe you, James and John. It's just, it's astonishing the fact that it's so easy to miss what's really happening because we're so caught up in other things. And we're so, even with this, we're caught up with kind of the signs and the wonders, and we're caught up with the, you can do it, Jesus. You can free us from the Roman Empire. You can free us from all this oppression. You can restore Israel to be great. You can make us a free people. And he's like, I am truly trying to make you a free people, but it's not just on the earth. And here, I think their shout and their declaration is they were saying, come. You know, they were singing Hosanna, like, blessed be the one coming kingdom of our father David.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts out even though when they get the colt and Jesus gets on the colt. The tradition for Caesar or anyone who was a ruler to go into the city was to cast down palm leaves and their clothes and everything in front of them to celebrate a king, an earthly king. And their whole idea is about an earthly king coming into the town to take over. And even like you said, even up until his time on the Mount of Olives, until Judas and them came to get him, everybody kept continuing thinking that he was going to take over as king. And Judas himself thought, well, you know, once I provoke them to go get him, then we'll see him rise up as king. And they were all wrong, because and Jesus had been telling them that his whole time of ministering to the apostles. And that's what gets me. You know, here he's been telling them all the time, I'm going to leave. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm building my kingdom is, you know, is different than this. And here it amazes me that they're confused. But it takes me back to the thought of how confused we get about the kingdom of God ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We feel like the kingdom of God is heaven. Well, it's not heaven. It's the people who are serving God, which is the kingdom of God, who accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that are serving him. That's the kingdom. It's not heaven. The kingdom has come down to us. And so I believe that we get confused on that too, that, you know, when we get saved, we enter into the kingdom.
Yeah. And it makes, if you see what's going on here, you actually unravels what goes on when he's before, say, Pilate or somebody. Because reading the Gospels, I never hear Jesus just go up and say, I'm the king of the Jews.
Nope.
Like but they're calling him the king of the Jews.
Yep. Here.
And that's one of the reasons the Roman Empire probably even was stirred enough to do something about it, because there is this proclamation like, hey, he's the king.
Right.
Like, when they did this to him, they're declaring him to be king, and Pilate would say stuff like, you're the king of the Jews.
Right.
What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do against us? Like, there is a provoking there.
And you know what gets me, too, is even with when they're asking him that, because I think Pilate had to know that he wasn't there to be king. Number one, where's his army?
Mm-hmm.
None of the Jews around there had.
He has those 12 men. Huh? Tax collectors, fishermen.
Yeah.
It's a mighty army.
But he didn't realize, you know, he had legions of angels. But what I'm saying is, you know, if I'm sitting there and I'm the ruler over this and I'm seeing one man come into town, yeah, he has a bunch of people following him, but nobody with spears and swords and shields and everything like that. Well, how's he planning on taking over and he ain't got nobody?
Well, it's very apparent they didn't feel threatened.
Right, exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying.
The Roman Empire did not feel threatened at all.
No.
And you look at this, and even Jesus responds to Pilate when he calls him the king of the Jews, and he's like, my kingdom's not of this world.
That's right.
I'm not trying to build an earthly kingdom.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be greater than that. And then Pilate's like, if you got all this power, then you could do it. He said, I could, but I'm not. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's basically what he says in short I mean, it's a will translation, but it's just like he's trying to be provoked, but he can't be provoked.
Yeah,
he's steady, he's constant, he's walking in the fullness of the Spirit. And then Pilate's like, "I've got power over you." And then Jesus is like, "You don't have no power.
Yeah,
the only power you have is the power that my Father gives you."
Yeah, Jesus could have been like, "Listen, if you keep messing with me, I'm just going to make the earth swallow you up, and you're gone."
Right.
You know, we just won't have to hear it no more.
That's what they wanted him to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's what now. Well, yeah, the Jews probably wanted him to do that. But I think they wanted him to rise up in a different way, to, like you say, for all. I think it's more like when I think about it, because the Roman soldiers were scattered so much, it wasn't like that he could open up the ground at one time like he did the Jews and in the wilderness with Moses and just swallow them up. So it would have had to have been more like, in my mind, like when the death angel came and killed the firstborn. It would have to be something similar to that, that, you know, there would be an angel come and kill all the Roman soldiers that way. But it just blows my mind in all of this, you know, that the whole time Jesus is showing love, he's showing grace. He's showing humility. He's given his apostles a teaching moment, even in his death. That because he told them, you know, basically you're going to die in the same manner,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you're going to die these deaths. So he's showing them, even in this, I'm not going to raise a hand. I'm not going to fight. I'm serving God, and God is with me. And sometimes we... when somebody hurts our feelings, somebody comes against us, something happens, we want to lash out in anger. Mm-hmm. And Jesus shows no anger. He shows humbleness.
And on top of that, too, I think Jesus is showing us that probably the greatest model of humility will ever, I mean, it is without a doubt. I mean, I want to say without a doubt, like it's the greatest model of humility we'll ever see, because here, he does have the power.
Yes, he does.
Yet he has submitted all authority to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I could take you out, Pilate. Like,
yeah.
Like you don't understand. Like, I can just say the word,
legions
of angels are coming down. Tens of thousands of angels are coming down, and you're not standing a chance. But I won't move without my Father moving."
That's it.
"I will not move, and you have no authority except that which the Father has given you." And I think this goes back to when the disciples are wanting to call down fire.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, "Let's just call down fire," and Jesus has to respond to them, "You don't know what spirit you are of."
That's right.
And in the earth today, what if the church sought the Lord as much as Christ followed in obedience to the Father?
Amen.
Because we work off emotions. We work off personal preferences. We work off what they say, what this news station says, or what my mom and dad taught me, or Aunt Joe or Aunt Sally taught me, or this is what makes good common sense. This is how we're going to do things. This is how we're going to model things. This is how we're going to show things. But yet, what if we do nothing that we first don't see our Father do?
That's right.
Right.
Are we willing to really allow... And I know we do in some instances, but are we really willing to allow Jesus to take full control? Because most of us, we like a little control. You take people who go out to that, you know, they companies take groups out to build, I guess, work relationships and things like that. And they go out there, and the first thing they do is on that trust thing, and they say, "Okay, now you're going to fall backwards, and your friends is going to catch you."
No way I'm letting Kaylee catch me. She would drop me in a heartbeat.
I mean, you did leave me last night.
I'm sorry, Aaron. Did you fall?
And, light as a feather.
But, you know, we do that. We like to be in control, and most people, at the first few times, that even when they go back, they're trying to stumble back to catch themselves because they're just not sure
right.
someone's back there. But we have to learn to be sure that Christ is always there for us and that he's never left us and never forsook us.
And we have to, and that is difficult. That takes a level of trust, and really it takes, I guess a good example of that is David when he goes up against Goliath, because he was so confident in the Lord because of what? He only brought two things to the battlefield, his sling and his staff, and his staff consisted of his testimony. So a shepherd would mark their staff with marks to represent their historical testimony with the Lord, or like things that happened of significance in their walk with as a shepherd. And so he took his past, he took his faith, the God's faithfulness in there, and he said, if the Lord has delivered me from the hand of the lion and the bear, he will do so even much more from the hand of the Philistine. And that is what we're, you know, it takes radical trust. It takes radical faith. It takes radical obedience. And we're not always saying this is easy and skipping through fields of dandelions, but the outcome of radical surrender and radical obedience and radical faith produces radical results.
Amen.
And here's the thing. It feels risky. Like there feels like it's a risk, and it's going to feel like a risk. Like you're not going to have everything figured out. You're not going to know. You may not know from point A to point B what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
You may know a way to get from point A to point B, but he may have you go through Samaria, friend. You just don't know. It's just all, will you be willing to listen, to hear, and to heed, and to obey his voice?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it feels like it's a risk, but all it is faith.
That's faith.
And it's no risk if we know the one we're in the hand of.
That's right. And even if we, you know, when we're going through an area and we don't know if God has sent us in that area or not, we need to trust that he's with us regardless of whether we were told to go through that area or not. A lot of people have changes in life, such as job situations or whatever. And sometimes they didn't get an answer from God, maybe in their prayer, whether this is the right job or this is not the right job. But if you've been praying for a job and a job comes open, if you don't feel something really bad about it, or it's not a contradiction to God's word on how you're living when you're doing it, then wouldn't you think that you should trust the Lord that that's probably your job? I mean, that's what I always did.
Yeah.
And always when I got there, I was blessed.
Yeah. And I think sometimes in life, we won't have always a clear answer on everything.
That's right.
But we've got to trust the word is right, and he guides the footsteps of the righteous.
Amen.
And so if we are walking in his ways, and we are walking in righteousness, and which means we're walking in Christ, we're walking in his ways, we're walking in his word, we may not always have the burning bush experience, and not even always have extreme confirmation, but we have to trust that the word is correct, and he guides the footsteps of the righteous.
Amen.
Because I can go back to the story of Joseph. And Joseph's life was very much not what we would expect a great life to be, but yet he guided every footstep, because every footstep led him to the Pharaoh's house, which then he became the one that helped save Israel from starvation.
Right.
And so even in that, you got to see that even if your life isn't making sense right now, and it's not what you thought it would be, and there's disappointment, or there's even confusion, like, Lord, I thought I would be here by now, or I thought I'd be doing this by now, that you must trust the process, that Jesus is guiding your footsteps. And it's not just about straight point to A and B, because here's the thing, it's not always the shortest route that's the best route. Sometimes
that's right.
He takes you through a longer route because you're developed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he just wants to see you, he wants you to see something. He wants you to see the beauty of it, something. Because I know for me, you know, you could go, all right, for us, when we travel in the United States today, if we're traveling long distances, what's the fastest way to get anywhere?
Interstates.
What's the worst views driving anywhere? Interstates. But it's the fastest view.
The fastest.
And I feel like in the culture of American Western church, especially because of just our lifestyles and what we live in the church, we like the fast route. We want to fast track it. We want everything in our spiritual walk to be on an interstate.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you'll ever take a road trip off of it and you go onto Route 66 or you go into, you go off the road and you start to see these magnificent, beautiful places and you start to see wildlife you never saw before, because a lot of wildlife don't hang out near where interstates. I mean, you get them on there, but nothing like in the backwoods. And if you'll be willing to get off the interstate for a second, you'll see and experience things full of glory and full of beauty. But I feel like a lot of times we want that interstate type spiritual walk where it's just get me there as fast as I can so I can drive there as fast as I can, instead
That's
of
right.
being able to stop and smell the roses and stop and look at the viewpoints. And, like, you know, how many things are we missing in life because we're just so preoccupied with getting there fast?
Yeah, that's right.
And so,
and you look at you take a look at the apostles when they go up to get the colt. I mean, can you imagine that? In my mind, I would be thinking, you know, what if they think I'm stealing this colt? What's going to happen? You know, so they're going out of the unknown. They're believing. Jesus said, do this. And so I know that they're going to do this. But even when they have to tell them, you know, the master has need of this colt, probably in their minds they were thinking, oh, well, they're getting ready to get us now. But they didn't. They did not panic because they knew that Jesus had said that. And so here they were going out of their way. They're going into a different direction. They're going into a country that are I'm saying a country, but this is a spiritual way that they had no idea of what was going to take place, but yet Jesus had already prepared the way for them and already knew what was going to happen. And we should all, as believers, believe he's already made a way.
Prepared the donkey.
Amen.
Hannah, Kaylee, you got anything?
Yes. So going back to, instead of taking the interstate and everything, the path isn't just about you and about you getting to point A and point B. Mm-hmm. All throughout Scripture, I see Jesus taking detours, and it wasn't for himself. It was for others to have their eyes open, to receive healing, to receive deliverance, you know. Jesus wouldn't just put up, you know, guards around his eyes and get to where he's going. He had compassion and, you know, love and, you know, to just turn to the people. So I have to remind myself because I do feel it, like I'm behind someone and there's road work. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm just trying to get to where I'm going. He goes, what if it's not even about you? What if it's about you just, you know, ministering to someone else along the way? And then that really takes off all the getting in a hurry. And what if I'm protecting you, you know? And it's like, we don't realize how much we try to get in a hurry and the Lord tries to slow us down. Because whenever you can cook a cake, and if you rush trying to cook that cake, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to taste as good. And I feel like the Lord ministers to me all the time, if you try to skip the suffering or like the sifting, you won't be sustained. And so it's like, I'm going to walk through this the way the Lord wants me to. And it's faith. Like y'all were saying, y'all just kept going. I'm like, the word's faith. Like, we won't understand it. And that's what faith is. Now, faith is the things that are hoped for. They're not seen. And so it's like, not only do we have to slow down when the Lord's trying to lead us, but also we have to have faith, because that's what catches us. So,
yeah.
And yesterday we were kind of talking about, I think it kind of ties in with, you know, talking about falling into idolatry. Because what the Lord has been showing me is, you know, if we focus, and I've seen it over and over and I fell into it, if we focus so much on the destination, and that's what our eyes are on, we just can't wait. Lord, I just can't wait until you bring me into this calling and you bring me here, you bring me there. Then when we get there, it's like, that was our reward. Like, that will be our reward if that's the thing.
Yeah.
And even anything in this earth, I mean, if we're doing it out of purity and it is eternal, then we will have those eternal rewards if there's souls and things like that. But still we're going to be worshiping him for eternity. Yes. And we spent so much time not with him and not focusing on him and not worshiping him because we were so, we had that such a desire for what he was going to use us to do. And I've just seen that so much, and I felt like the Lord was bringing that back to me this yesterday, but this morning too, of like, be so careful not to focus so much on God using you and focus more on getting to know him.
Yes, amen.
Because and even if it's not focusing so much on God using you, but focusing so much on if you're not doing, like, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? It's just anything that is about the performance or the action more than being with him. And I know that once we get that right, that everything else will flow. Yeah. Like the works, you know, the good works will flow out of that. But I don't know why we get it so backwards. Mm-hmm. We try to focus on the works before
the intimacy,
the relationship.
Yeah. And as much as I'm a guy who is after a true revival in the United States of America and a true awakening, and I think a lot of our hearts beat for that, just a true move of God. Mm-hmm. My critique of that sometimes is that we don't allow ourselves to enjoy the journey there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like we've got to work so hard to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when is that point? Like, because we could always say we need more of a move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could say, oh, well, there's 10,000 people that got saved today. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. Or we can say, yeah, but we can push for 100,000.
Mm.
There could always be that next push and that next level. And if we're not careful, we'll always be pushing towards an event and not enjoying the one we're pushing an event for. And so I think that's what, in the revival culture, I think you have to be careful of, is not to enjoy the journey.
Yes.
To like say the journey there is not important. It's just where we work hard to earn God's favor. You're not working hard to earn your God's favor. And really for me, living for a revival and living for an awakening is not about a moment. It's about a lifestyle.
Amen.
Like I want to see a move of God that affects not just for a 3-month period of great moves or great series, or I'm not after something that's going to happen even for 2 or 3 years of every Sunday night we're going to meet. Like, all that's great and all that's fine, but I'm looking for something that is sustained from generation to generation. I'm looking for God to do something so deep in the hearts of men that my great-great-grandchildren are feeling it. I'm not excited for a series of meetings and services. I'm looking for a community of the kingdom of God that begins to grow and grow and grow. And I'm just thoroughly convinced there's a remnant that's ready to do this thing the right way and do this thing the authentic way. And it's not for services, it's not for numbers, but it's for substance, and it's for culture, and it's for kingdom, and it's for anointing. And so that the addicted can get set free and the heartbroken can get put back together. I mean, we're seeing people saved that I never dreamed would be saved. We're seeing God do these things in people's lives. We're seeing hearts being changed. We're seeing addictions fall off. I mean, I witnessed to the glory of God last night such a powerful scene of a friend of ours that just gave something up last night, just gave it up right there. And we had the opportunity to pray with them and just love on them. And I was so proud of them. And it was like, yes, Lord, you are doing this kind of stuff. And it's just astonishing what he'll do. And we want to push for, we always want to pray. Like what we said last Sunday, it's prayer and fasting. It's giving ourselves to him. But it's not out of religious duty, or it's not out of just this mundane, we've just got to do it because this is how we get to where we want to go. Now, I want to give myself to prayer and fasting because I get to be with the one who flung the stars, hung the moon, and made the galaxy. I get to be with the one who saved my soul. I get to be with the one who's the lover of my soul. I get to be with the one who's my beloved. I get to be with him. And prayer and fasting shouldn't be just religious duties. It should be a great joy because it's the resource of the kingdom. It's what the kingdom operates on is communication. It's the communication of the kingdom. It's the lifestyle of dying to self and living for him. It's humility. It's all these great things that's piled into one. But I'm not looking at it as my religious duty. I'm looking at it as I get to spend time with the one.
Amen.
Who loves me, who made me, who created me. I get to spend one with a time who still dries up cancer. I get to spend time with the one who still cures diabetes. I get to spend time with the one who's still saving souls. And it's not about just getting to that event. It's about the journey as much as anything else.
That's right.
And that's what I see here with the disciples. They didn't understand everything, but you know, there was great times with Jesus. And it wasn't just about, now Jesus is feeling the pressure of death at this point. But for so long, think of the great joy they experienced. I mean, Jesus had a point A to point B. Like, point B was always the cross. But think of the joy every time they saw eyes opened.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the joy every time they saw somebody get up and walk. Think of the joy when they saw four men take their friend, put him on a bed, take off the roof, fly him into the room that was crowded, and that guy got up and walked for the first time in his life. Think of the joy whenever a tax collector repents and comes to follow the way. Think of the joy whenever the guy that was chained up at the Gadarenes got delivered. Like, we are so quick to just forget that because it's a mean to a means. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was never about a means to the means, because he said, I don't even want you to tell anybody, because I'm not doing this so that you can go spread my fame farther. I'm doing this because I radically love you and I came to set you free.
Amen.
I think a lot of the reason why we don't want the journey is because we're starving, because we don't have it for ourselves.
Hmm.
Like, whenever we get into that mode,
mm-hmm,
of just wanting the event and wanting to be on the fast track is because we're starving ourselves. But I would see with Jesus that he was never starving. He was always overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
He was always overflowing in abundance. And I think that's when, you know, like, when we're actually, like, think about when we're actually starving, like, physically starving. Like, we're ready to get out of wherever we're at. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're actually starving, we want to get gone. Like, we want to go find food, and it's like we get on that fast track mentality of, like, we have to just get food. Like, that's all I'm cared about.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can think about right now is I just have to get food. And I think we need to be hungry for the Lord. I'm not saying we don't need to be hungry. But when we're, like, starving for that encounter ourselves because we're not living in it and walking in it, I think that's contributes to this.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm reminded, we just come out of VBS. VBS is a very intense week. Like, we're actually still recovering in the sense of trying to get everything done. And we even had to work last night a little bit more, getting it back to another church. Let's borrow some decorations. And there's still cleanup to do, and there's still some other things. We still got trees hanging in the fellowship hall. All right. I didn't realize that till yesterday. They're still up there. And so, it's a process. And the week is amazing. And, you know, everybody's about the week. But I sometimes refer, like, we can be very quick to forget the joy of the journey too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there was a team, and a lot of us know individually here, that was working 2 weeks before VBS even got here, almost nightly till 10 o'clock trying to get stuff ready. And but yet all, and what I kind of sent in a message one or twice, like, you know, let's not forget, just as much as being there on the week of is serving, every decoration that we hung was sown into a child's life. And we, mm-hmm, have to see it like that, the journey there. And we had great journeys. Like, I was thinking about the week before, and even that Sunday before, we had a lot of fun with each other. You know, just cutting branches and putting them on the treehouse. Kaylee saved my life. It hurts to say, she caught me. I fell off a ladder and she caught me. Now she wasn't holding me like a little kid or anything like that, but I was falling off a ladder and she literally saved me. And so I said, oh no, I'm going to owe her now. and then I'm reminded of, like, Ethan and Cody. They were trying to hang their first tree in the fellowship hall. And Brianna went over there and just go, I don't think that's what we was looking for. And it was just a funny moment. Like, it was a good moment. And I think if sometimes we're not careful, we can let the stress of the journey overwhelm, yeah, the joy of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we get so stressed. And I'm guilty of this, man. I mean, whenever you got to make sure everything is, like, I wasn't in charge, but I feel like, you know, when you are pastor, you're kind of overseeing every single thing. And there's a lot of different things you're kind of overseeing at that point. And it's that normal. And it's very easy, trust me, I know, to get wound up, to get stressed out, to get overwhelmed. And there's so many things that go into these kind of events that people don't even realize. They just show up and enjoy join them. But there's tons of logistics. There's tons of things. There's tons of liabilities. There's tons of budgets and all these kind of things. And if we're not careful, we'll let all of that override the joy of it, and we'll miss the great things, and we'll miss the fun things and the things that unify us. And Brother Todd said our journey needs to be about others' lives. Exactly. Amen. We're living this together. We're journeying this together. And some of the best times of our hearts being knit together are not in the actual moment or event. Mm-hmm. It's in the times coming to the event or coming to the moment. And I think we just have to realize that and embrace that, like, and be okay with not trying to expedite everything. And I get it, like, when you're having a VBS per se, like we just said, there's a time crunch because you have an actual starting date. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like, we're just not there, we got to get there, and I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody else, and we just got to get there. I need to know this. I got to do this. If we are faithfully walking in His ways, like, mm-hmm. Brother Rick, you talked about jobs, all right? It may not be the job you want in this season, and it may not even be the job you think the Lord has for you.
Right.
But it may be the job you're in.
Right.
And instead of saying, I'm just going to quit and be a bum, that's not Scripture.
Mm-mm.
The Scripture commands us not to be lazy.
That's
the Scripture commands us to work and to provide. It's a commandment. All right. It's not a suggestion.
Mm.
It's saying those who don't work don't eat.
Come on.
Okay. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. So even in that season, it may not be where you end up, but it is where you are.
Right.
And instead of whining and bickering and complaining and saying, I'm just going to wait on the Lord and I'm going to go be a bum and live in the box because I just don't know where God wants me. And you said that don't happen. It does. I talked to a homeless person in Owensboro last year who's in those shoes. I don't know where God wants me, so I'm just going to live homeless till He tells me. And I'm like, well, no, let's get you a job. Like, the Bible talks about this.
Yeah.
Like, let's, you know, you may not, he said, I feel like I'm going to do actually what he told me, the homeless person, because I sit with him about 45 minutes in Walmart McDonald's chatting and ministering to him. He told me, he said, I feel like I'm going to be a martyr for Christ. And this is what I told him. I said, well, that's great, but first you should live for Him. And let's go get a life. And let's get a life that pleases Him. And let's get a life that glorifies Him. And in the waiting is not passivity and apathy. In the waiting is activity and faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we get it wrong sometimes in our journey, is the journey becomes complacent, and then a lazy hand introduces the demonic work.
Yeah.
It does. And so whenever he says those that wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength.
Right.
Those are those who are actively waiting upon the Lord, not just, I'm just going to sit there and do nothing.
Right.
One of my favorite scenes of the movie Fireproof is that he's waiting for God to move, but every single day he's active.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's active. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's going to the Live Dare. He starts it all over again. And that song's playing, you know, waiting, you know, we will worship while we're waiting. Well, you know what he's doing? He's actively serving and being faithful until God moves. That's the journey.
Yeah.
And the journey is just as enjoyable as the end game if we are actually doing something and being faithful to who He is. And so I get it, friend. You're not where you want to be. You're not where you think God's going to finish you at. But you better stop complaining and murmuring about where you're at. And I'm learning this firsthand.
Mm.
Like, I don't, you know, I really don't know where me and Heather will be in 20 years.
Right.
I can't tell you that.
No.
But I can tell you where He has me right now.
Exactly.
And I can tell you right now is where we live.
That's right.
And so, I mean, hopefully we're in Puerto Rico in 20, 25 years. That's what I'm pushing for still.
Yeah.
All right. Heather's not there yet.
Okay.
But hey, I heard a sermon that said you're going to be preaching here till you're 80-something years old.
Yeah, I am. I'll fly home once a month.
You know, if you can't... people want to quit jobs and leave jobs like we're talking about because, well, I don't know if God wants me here, so I need to wait and go and all of this. What if God is not through using you where you are right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you keep thinking there's a ministry far off. And like you said, there might be that one that's right there in Owensboro waiting to hear a word from you.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and all you're doing is your whole concern is, was God, I'm waiting for that other job you told me about, or I'm waiting for a better job. Well, the better time is, let's just serve God right now where we're at and not get so excited about leaving, but let's just wait up on the Lord and serve where we're at.
That's right. And you know, maybe you need a, maybe you are in need of a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be real for a second. Before God will give you, now this is theoretical, okay? I'm just doing a hypothetical statement. It's metaphorical.
Right.
Don't take this like God's raining these down or anything like this. But before you get the Cadillac, you better know how to steward over the Cavalier.
There you go.
And sometimes he's got you in this job and in this part of life because he's got to trust you there before he can put you there. And he saw Joseph faithful in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And because Joseph was faithful in the pit and Joseph was faithful in the prison and Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house, he saw a man he could trust in the house of the Pharaoh.
Right.
But Joseph was really proved in the other places.
Right.
That's where Joseph was proved. That was Joseph developed. And that's what I'm not looking for a new vehicle at all. I don't want another vehicle. I'm happy with ours. I just want it to stop tearing up. And so I'm like praying for my truck the other day because there's three things wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to end up costing me still a lot of money right after I just fixed the transmission. And I'm sitting here going, I'm praying for my truck. I don't care what you think. I lay hands in my truck and pray for them down the road.
Yeah.
But I felt the presence of the Lord say, you want me to fix this truck and you don't even take care of it. Cause I look at it and there's garbage here and there's dust in there and there's, I mean, it's just gross in there.
Right.
And I said, I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. And it's not about earning it. It's about, he's got to trust you. He's got to trust you because we're stewards. And so I have to realize, and when I was praying for my truck and I'm like, Lord, fix my truck. I need help me out here. Going, you can take this seal and you can fix the seal without me even changing it. You can call me stupid. You can call me crazy, whatever you want. I don't care. I'll pray for my truck. And then when he was talking about, you don't even take care of it. It's coinciding with the fact that he then spoke to me and he said, and you got to quit calling it your truck.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, sir. I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, 20 years and I'm just learning some things. He's still moving and shaking and he's still developing. And we've got to say the earth is his and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
And I've got to quit taking ownership over things and become a steward of the things. And everything that I steward, it'll just go away. That truck's going to disappear one day.
Amen.
But I'm just stewarding it for a season. And he's been faithful to give it to me. And he's been faithful to provide it for me. And I've got to learn to steward the things. If we take ownership, it doesn't matter. If I trash it, if I don't trash it, that's fine. But whenever we see our life, everything, our children, our life, our vehicles, our house, it's God's given it to us, and we're just stewards.
We're just stewards.
And I think that's when we really start to love the journey.
And, you know, and kind of bringing this back to while we're talking about this, even in the scripture here that we're reading, Jesus is going into Jerusalem because that's his mission. Now, did he want to go to – he knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He knew he was going there to die. So what about his job? You think that he wanted to do that? No, but in order for the kingdom to come and God's grace and will be done, he was willing to go and do what he had to do. And that's the same for us. We have to be willing to do what God wants us to do. As pastors, you and I both know, there's a lot of times there's things that we have to do that we don't want to do. There's a lot of times that we sacrifice time, even that we'd want to spend with our family,
mm-hmm.
and we're not able to because there's another need that's out here. There's a person who needs to be counseled. There's somebody who needs to be witnessed to, somebody who needs to be prayed for, a sick person who needs to be visited, whatever. There's always things that that people we have to do as Christians. So we do it with love and joy because we're doing it for the Lord. We're not doing it for ourselves. And yes, God's given us back that time. So when we have time with our families, it should be really good quality time and not a time of chewing out and correcting. And it should be, hey, let's get together and have fun. Let's love one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's just enjoy being with one another. And I think sometimes we forget to enjoy our family.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, it's not our family, it's God's family. So I want to enjoy while I'm there with them.
Amen. Hannah,
Amen.
Kaylee?
That's good. Same thing with your spouse. And,
yes.
You know, how much time do you just spend scrolling or, you know, focused on other things? But I love that. When you're there in the moment, be there.
Be there, yeah.
Be there, whether it's with what the Lord's having you do,
yes,
or with your family. That's so good.
I've been fasting this week. I've put Facebook down.
Feel good?
Yeah, it has felt good. You know, I looked at my, you know, you all got me started on this. Y'all looked at my phone one day and said, Brother Rick doesn't spend hardly any time at all on media and all this other looking around and everything. And so one day I got on Facebook and I'm looking, and all of a sudden I start seeing this picture, you know, of this guy, you know, talking about coins and different things like that. So I started watching that video, and then I flipped it over to the next video and found one, you know, that talked about the same thing or something similar. So I keep flipping, and then the next thing I know, my time is showing me that I'm spending 5 hours a day on media flipping through screens. Now, I don't know if that's really true, but it said that I was. And so I had to put that thing down. I'm like, hey, I'm looking at too many coins, sermons, whatever it is, scrolling through there instead of spending time with the Lord and enjoying the people that I'm around. Because you might come in my house, next thing you know, I'm looking at Facebook and scrolling through,
yeah,
something.
Yeah. And, you know, at some point, even with the – and let me just say this for people out here, and this is coming from somebody that we do this talk broadcast every morning, 2 hours, about the Bible and this. So this is very – I'm saying this for somebody who does this. You got to be careful if all you do is intake.
Mm.
And if we're not careful, we'll have an Eli syndrome,
right,
where we sit on this throne and get really big and fat but not do nothing with it.
Come on.
And I think that some of us just love to take in sermons, but I mean, it's sooner or later, it's got to come to a point where I'm going to do something with it.
Exactly.
I'm going to do something with this. Thing's got to act. I can't be just a hearer. I got to be a doer as well. And we're willing to take all day long and hear, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good for that person. That's good for that person. Oh, that person really needs to hear this. And now we're sending sermons to everybody where everybody needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And we never hear it ourselves.
That's right.
And I know for me, like, I still listen to a lot of sermons if I'm on the mower or if I'm like, I've been working on my truck some. So like when I'm out there by myself, I'll have,
sure,
a sermon playing. Or if I'm pressure washing something, I'll have the sermon playing. When I cleaned out the car, I might have my headphones in, but nobody else is around. But if somebody's with you, take them out, turn the phone off. And like what I'm thinking, like, you know, what happens around a campfire with a group of believers is just as important as what happens in the church house with a group of believers.
Wow, yeah.
Because it's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about just a moment on Sunday mornings. It's about a lifestyle, uh-huh, that we learn to live together. And the glory of God can show up around a campfire just as much as he can in the sanctuary.
It's true.
And that's where we got to learn to love the journey and do this thing together in community, because you can call us whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But the more you isolate yourself and the only time you meet with the body of Christ is on Sunday morning, then you're a car that parks itself in a garage once a week, but it doesn't mean you're a part of the house. Like,
right,
it is just, and I think that's what we got to be careful of, is to isolate ourselves, so dishonor the journey that God has, and also not commit and commune with the people that God surrounded us with. And I mean, I want my kids to see more than just a Sunday morning religion. I want to see us forgiving on Tuesday, just like we say we do on Sunday. I want,
amen,
us to, I don't want them to look in there and say, Dad, what are you watching that for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, I didn't know he was supposed to listen to this kind of music. Well, we're not.
Yeah.
Like, you're the leader of your house, friend, and this is called authenticity and consistency and walking in the fullness of what God has. And if we're always just living for a moment, we're always just doing this or doing that, and it's okay, we're going to get there one day, instead of realizing the journey is here.
Right.
It's here.
Like, we are here already. Like, are we praying for an awakening that shakes our region? Absolutely. But guess what? The awakening is already here because it's happening in our own heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can't keep living for something hypothetically that hasn't happened yet whenever we have to realize by revelation it's already here and we're living in it today. And we don't have to wait for great joy to come later. Great joy is here mm-hmm. today.
Amen.
Because Jesus has awakened our hearts already. And in an awakened state, we can start to awaken others. But I think the reason awakening and revival doesn't happen is because we're waiting for a moment instead of manifesting it from a transition and a manifestation in our own heart. Like, how can you spread awakening if you've never been awakened?
That's right.
How can you spread revival if you've never been revived? How can you spread the kingdom if you're not living in it?
Amen.
We're waiting for a moment of sovereignty to fall from heaven. And yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God is mighty. God could do it, but God has chose to operate through the conduit of you and
mm-hmm.
I. Let his kingdom come in earth, me,
yes.
as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
And that's the conduit he chose, is to work through me. And if I don't have awakening, how can I give awakening?
Right.
Right.
If I don't have revival and I don't live in it, how can that come into manifestation around me? And that's kind of the thing I'm living in now, is like, man, I've talked to Hannah and I've talked to Heather and some others, like, let's just grab a guitar and come to the living room and let's write a song to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not meant for CDs.
Right.
It'll be meant for the house. Like, let's find the sound of awakening God has for us. Let's get in the living room and let's just play guitars and the piano and let's just find the song of the Lord for us. We're not putting on YouTube. We're not trying to do all this kind of, we're just saying, what's the sound of awakening for us? Let's seek the Lord together. If we write a song and we never sing it on a stage, it's for him anyways.
Amen.
And it's so, and it's just like, I think that's the heartbeat. Like, let's stop living for a moment that's coming and start understanding the moment is now.
Enjoy the journey. Yeah, that commercial that says that, enjoy the journey. We forget to enjoy the journey.
Yep. Very much so.
I mean, I know the journey can be hard. You think about Paul, you know, going through all the troubles that he went through, shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned, and
prison.
Left for dead, and all the things that he went through. But yet, you know, for him, that was the journey. And he didn't enjoy being beat, but he enjoyed what he was doing for the Lord.
Yeah. Like, as much as we're picking on Kaylee for being left last night, and it was not mine and Heather's fault, because we did confirm with her. All right.
She ran off a little like a little girl, didn't
it's
she?
It's part of the journey.
She ran off, and like, so she got left.
Like, it's part of the journey.
She was about her father's business.
That's what I told Heather. I sent a message like, where's Kaylee? I said, shouldn't you know I'd be in my father's house?
And it's part of the journey. Like, I think that's the beautiful thing. Like, it's just part of the journey. And we have to understand, like, man, there's joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know there's bad things happening in the world today. There's atrocious things happening in the world today. There's tough things. There's things me and Heather's going through right now that's still difficult. And you know, we're not rich. We're not comfortable. We're not anything like that. Like,
right.
All the kids are not perfectly well behaved. All these kind of things. We got a busy schedule. I mean, like, most times we can't even have time to eat. Like, it's just like we're trying to. There is that moment of wants to pull us in to survive. But man, then you gotta resist that. That's what it is. You gotta resist that urge and that tenacity or that pull or that fiery dart to say, "I'm just life's so hard and life's so rough," and learn to embrace the journey that you are on. Does have us in
mm-hmm.
for this season, and we gotta find the joy. Like, come home the other day, and on our refrigerator there's a pink stick note. And Cloud had put on there, "Der." He didn't say what "there." He said "der." "Der, no chocolate ice cream." He wrote us on a note so we would be very, very, no. He wanted us to know there's no chocolate ice cream. I love it. I walk in the house the other day. I mean, I'm sitting in the couch the other day, and we actually had a couple minutes. I just kind of sit down with Ivy and Cloud, and we was watching a show, and I went up to use the restroom, get back. There's a piece of paper on my blanket I was covered up with, and it said, "I love you, Daddy. Happy day." It just has happy day. It has about 17 numbers. He says, those are the numbers since you've been born. I said, that's a big number, Cloud. And then Ivy yesterday, she wanted to come up to the office with me. So she goes, hey, Dad, I could help her. I can come help you at the office. And it's like, man, let's enjoy those journey. Like, instead of sitting there saying, oh, we're so busy. Oh, it's awful. Life is this. I can't do this. I'm so stressed. I need this. I don't have that. I don't have that. Let's just find joy in where God has us. And yes, it's busy. It can be chaotic. Maybe you are in a rough place. Maybe you're in a trial. Maybe you're facing a doctor's report. Maybe you're facing jail time. I don't know what it is. I'm just being honest this morning. I'm just going by the Spirit. Maybe you're facing that hectic. Maybe you're a mom who's about to pull her hair out. Maybe you're a dad who's trying to provide and you feel like you're not being thankful. Nobody's thankful. Nobody's respecting you. Maybe all these things are building up, but I'm telling you, the Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. And instead of living from the land of the pity and living from the land of, oh, I just, this season's awful. I can't stand my kids. I can't do this. First, reverse that script and say, to the glory of God, you have given me my kids. You have given me this job.
Amen.
You have given me this place I'm at. This is the life I'm living. Is it tough at times? Absolutely. But there is joy in the camp.
Hallelujah.
There is a move of His Spirit. And as for me and my house, regardless of the situation and the circumstance, we will serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got to go break after that, and we'll get started afterwards. Kaylee, Hannah, you need to talk more. I know y'all quiet today. You're just quiet. You still about your father's business or something here?
Amen.
Well, at least I don't have to run you home on this
one.
You can walk home.
There's a time to shout and a time to soak.
Amen. All right. We didn't answer this question yesterday from what I can remember. According to Isaiah, after the end times, what will people in Zion and Jerusalem be called? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here. Enjoying the journey. Hallelujah.
Enjoying it.
Amen. Brother Paul's listening. I love Brother Paul. He has just been a tremendous blessing to get to meet and to know Brother Paul. He's part of that man plan group, and it's just he's added so much to the group. I really do. And he's stepped in and been doing Sunday school here and just doing a tremendous job. A lot of people, and it's amazing because so many Sundays now, like, we don't communicate what he's teaching and I'm teaching, but so many times it lines right up with each other, and it's pretty astonishing how that happens.
Praise
you know, it's
God.
The Holy Spirit in it. But he says, what you all are sharing on the radio this morning is so good. I listened at work, so I missed some points too, but I will definitely have to re-listen tonight with Robin. Amen. It is. Just enjoy. I'm learning this. Like, I'm not saying I've arrived and I'm doing this. No, I'm learning this.
Amen.
Just like everybody else, to enjoy the journey. And like yesterday, let's see, the night before, it was a couple nights ago, Ivy took cheese sauce and painted the wall. Now, it wiped off, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But Heather went up to her, and it was pretty – I wasn't even home at that point. I think I was at work or somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And Ivy goes, Mom, you happy? And you want to be frustrated in those moments. And, yes, you got to correct them and say, hey, we don't color the wall. She goes, but, Mom, I just wanted to paint. I just wanted to paint, because she's watching other people paint. So she's like, I just wanted to paint, Mom. And then she would go, are you happy? And then the other night she went and she got into glitter makeup. And, I mean, she come out there, and Heather said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this kid. And she said, look at her. And Ivy comes out there. She does this little sweet thing, and she has glitter makeup all over her face. And it's thick, and it's gooey. And I just said, are you pretty? And she goes, yeah. And I think at some point, yes, we got to correct him. It's like, hey, we can't make a mess. Yeah, I get that. But sometimes we're more obsessed with the mess than we are with the joy and learning. Hey, it is kids. They're going to draw on the wall every once in a while. They are going to make mistakes. And instead of being this crazed man that I can be sometimes, like, stop doing it. Like, yeah, there's correction and there's times for that, absolutely. But don't miss the joy of it too, because one day we'll look back and we'll have that picture of her with cheese all over her face and body, and the cheese in the wall and the cheese in the blanket. Guess what? All of that washed out. All of it is fine now. But what we won't forget is the look in her eyes when she goes, "Hey, Mom, you happy?" Like, that's the joy of life. And sometimes we're in a messy situation, and the Lord's just looking down on us, and we're just looking at him and go, "Hey, Dad, are you happy right now?" And you know what? And I'm not talking like anything about like sin or anything. Like, I'm not talking about that. But sometimes in our life, we just get so worked up about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning. We got to take a deep breath, friend. Smell the roses. Enjoy the journey. And just love where God has us, whether it's where we think we will end up or not.
Amen.
Hannah, Kaylee.
Because honestly, where we end up, it's not up to us anyway.
No.
We think we have to, well, I'll speak for myself. I like to know the steps, but that's faith. Like, if we knew everything, we couldn't have faith.
That's right.
Lord's trying to, like, I can't know everything. I have to be okay with not knowing and with trusting.
If we knew everything, maybe we wouldn't want to do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah,
I feel like it would steal the joy.
And you know what? If we don't find joy in this season, odds are we won't find joy in the next season.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because we're going to look for external things to affirm and give us substance of joy. But it's only one. It's the joy of
him.
The Lord that is my strength.
I saw a sign, a reading on a sign, church sign one day, and it said, "If you're not happy where you are now, when you go to the next place, you're still not going to be happy."
That's right.
And and that's a true fact. Christians can get so busy, and especially in the life that most people are living in today, it's all about greed, it's all about want, it's all about desire, it's all the gratification of the flesh and all the things like that. So, but when you get the things that you're desiring, when you get that ski boat, when you get that motorcycle, when you get, you know, all the toys and the trinkets that you've been wanting in life, you're so busy then trying to work and pay for it that you're not enjoying anything.
That is so true. So true.
So if you're not happy right now, maybe you need to let go of some things and seek the Lord more and begin to enjoy the journey he has you on, because all that stuff brings us into bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard a story in a parenting podcast. Well, it's not a parenting podcast. It was a Better Men's podcast, but it was about parenting. This one was, and this guy had said that his son had come to him, and I think his son ran track or cross country, I can't remember, and he said, "Hey, Dad, if I had these shoes, I can run so much faster." He wanted new shoes, and he said, if I have these shoes,
uh-huh,
I could run so much faster. And the dad was talking about, like, you know, the shoes were not like overly tough to buy or anything. They were blessed. They could get the shoes. And he looked at the kid and he said, "We'll get the shoes, son. God has blessed us and we have the abilities, we have the means. So it's not, you know, we can get those shoes." But he said, "I love you the speed you are."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "I love you whether you run faster or not." He said, "I have no problem buying you the shoes."
Right.
"But I love you at the speed you're going."
Yes.
And he said, "I'm not going to love you more if you run faster." And I think sometimes that's us with the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
If we got this job and we have this ministry, we have that church thing, or we
Come
have
on.
This, then we'll be so much better. And he's like, "I love you."
Yeah.
And look at Jesus. Before he did a miracle, what was the statement? "This is my beloved son." Jesus hadn't done anything yet in ministry. Like, in the external, outward manner, he hadn't done anything.
Right.
And yet the Father spoke his affirmation over him. And I think sometimes in our life, we feel like we have to go to that next level because God will like us more if we have bigger this or better this or that. And he's like, "Hey, son, if you never run a mile per hour faster, I still love you."
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I still love you.
You know, even though Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him three times, he still loved him right where he was at. And we forget, even though we fail God, God still loves us. All we have to do is come back to him. But as you was talking about those tennis shoes, I remember I used to, when I was a kid, I had some off-brand name, the cheaper tennis shoes. And I remember one day seeing somebody with a pair of Converse, and I was just real young, and I was like, "Can you run faster with those shoes?" And that person was like, yeah, I can run faster. And I said, can you jump higher in those shoes? Well, I think I can. And I'm thinking, Mom, you've got to get me those shoes. I want to jump higher and I want to run faster.
Yeah.
It's reminding me of like the Like Mike or whatever.
Yeah.
The kid who fits on the shoes and he can.
Yeah. And you know, there's some shoes that are more comfortable than others. There are shoes that I don't know if there's actually shoes that make me run faster or nothing like that. But you know, I do think that's our mentality sometimes. It's always we need the next thing, we need the next big thing, mm-hmm. and forget, like, you know, God loves us where we're at right now. And he so loved you. Like, I just feel this in my heart. I don't know why. I'm not trying to be redundant or we don't have nothing. We have tons we can talk about.
Right.
But
right.
I just feel like in my heart right now, there's some moms that are listening and even some dads that are listening that this season is so hectic for you.
Yes.
This season seems so chaotic. And this season is stressful. Like, trust me, I know, like, we got 6 kids we have to go back to school shopping for. All the supplies, getting everything ready. It's the gearing up of a new year. We have, like, 2 weddings coming up here. We've got all these things. August is busy. We got all these things. If you're not careful, you'll let that steal from the fact of, you know, Saturday, tomorrow, we're going to back to school shopping.
Yeah.
What a day. Like, if we can go into that day 2 different ways.
Uh-huh.
We can go into it like, oh, back gloom, to school doom. Shopping. I don't want to spend this money. It's going to be so – it is very expensive to go back to school it shopping is. For 6 kids. Mm. Anna, you can probably contest that back in the day. It's very expensive. It's very difficult.
Oh, we are on a tight budget.
Yeah. Like, you know, you have to find deals. You got to go there because with 6 kids buying shoes and clothes, it gets very expensive. And just the school supplies itself is very expensive. And you can go in it 2 ways. I don't want to do this. It's going to be, they're probably going to fight at one time. They're probably going to argue. They're going to want to go to that store. They're going to go to that store. Eliza's going to want the most expensive thing of everything. Iris is going to want nothing because she says, I'm okay, even though her clothes don't fit her no more. And she's going to be, I don't want anything. And then Cloud's going to just want toys. And Ivy's just going to want sparkly shoes. And I don't know what Jackson's going to want. And Nolan's just going to want some kind of candy and soft drink. That's going to be it. And you're going to be like, all these things. But yet, if we're not careful, we'll let that steal from the great joy tomorrow can be. That we can remember for the rest of the life. You remember that one time we went back to school shopping and Nolan tripped in the parking lot and tumbled and knocked his drink out of his hand and then spilled it all over Ivy? Like, that didn't happen. But I'm saying there is great joy that we can find even in the most awful situations. It's just, what are you going to view them from the lens of the kingdom, that all things going to work together for the good?
Mm.
Or are you going to view it from the lens of fleshliness, like, I got better things to do?
That's right.
And I'm telling you, I just feel like this is for somebody out there. You need to reverse the script the devil's trying to write in your head.
That's right.
And you got to stop giving them access to your heart. And it's like there's a movie called Mom's Night Out. And if you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. Good. I'm not saying go see it. I'm just saying it's really fun. I like that movie a lot. But in the beginning, a kid draws on the wall. And she's like stressed, like she ends up hiding in a closet, like getting ready to have a mental breakdown. I'm like, I think I've seen Heather do that before. And so it's like, and at the end of it, it's the most beautiful thing because this mom's like in tears, I just can't get it off. And at the end of it, she had bought picture frames and framed in the portrait and called it art. That's the mentality of life we gotta have.
Yeah.
That's what we gotta have. And man, there's more joy than you will ever experience. And the phraseology of don't blink it or pass you by, I think it's like this. Stop living in so much stress or you'll forget to love the season you're in. Mm-hmm. And you'll never be happy in the next season either, because you're always going to look for something to satisfy you. And there's one that does, and his name is Jesus. And if we'll start to see life through the lens of him, and that he's got me in his hand and nothing's going to pluck me out and all things going to work together for the good, and he is faithful to finish the work he starts, then we'd understand whatever happens, he is faithful, he is good, and he's going to work it out for your good.
That's so good. I think after I had Ezra, I was having, you know, of course, the enemy would want me to focus on the actual, like, things that were postpartum, like, is a legit thing, postpartum depression, all that stuff. But, like, I keep thinking about that time, and I'm like, Lord, I can never get that time back. And I was so stressed, and I feel like I missed out on so much. But maybe this is for somebody else, that he redeems the time. So if we will shift our mindset to this joy that we're talking about, we don't have to be afraid or just so down that we'll never get that time back, because he can redeem the time. He can hold the sun still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can stop, literally make the sun stand still. And I think that's another thing that can even lead you in another rabbit hole of just getting depressed or sad, you know, that, well, what do I do now? I've already wasted all this time being stressed out, and now I'm never going to get it back. But even in that, the Lord's bigger than that, because he can redeem it, and he, the time that you have left, he can make it so full of
joy
and so full of abundance that it is more than what it ever could have been.
That's right.
So to not focus on how you've messed up. I think that applies to anything. Like,
it does, yeah.
Anything in our past that, you know, the lies of the enemy that, well, you've gone too far, you've done too much, you've just wasted it, you've squandered it, it's too late. Like, I don't believe any of those are true with the Lord.
No.
I don't believe any of those statements are ever true. And yet we entertain those thoughts so much when they come from the enemy.
Or maybe
even they're not coming from the enemy, but they're just fears that we have.
Fears, yeah.
Of, well, maybe I'm just too old.
But fear is from the enemy, so.
Exactly, yeah. But maybe I'm just too old, or my time is, you know, it's never too late for anything
never.
With the Lord, as long as there's breath in our lungs.
Right.
You know, we get so caught up with yesterday.
Yep.
You cannot do anything about yesterday. It's past. It's over with. Today is the day. So we have to get in that mindset, you know. So if I didn't have joy yesterday, let's make up our mind. We're going to have joy.
You can have double
today.
Joy today.
Double joy today. Yeah, I can double it up. I didn't have it yesterday, so today I'm going to be more happy. And, of course, don't go out of town being too excited, because people think you've lost your mind.
That's okay.
That's why Corinthians says, if I'm out of my mind, it's for God, and if I'm in my right mind, it's for you.
Woo!
I was
going to
bring that scripture up a while ago when we were talking about something. If I look foolish, it's for the Lord.
We'll just talk to Kaylee about too much. Or not. There's really never too much.
I just want to know, Kaylee, why do people forget you so easily?
We did not forget her.
Well,
we even confirmed with her.
They forgot Jesus. So.
I recognize you every time I come in church, because you're so friendly. You're so outgoing. You're so
it was because she was on her face.
Hey, and when you're preaching, and when you're preaching, she'll give you that.
What do they call it? What do they call it? The church people who talk back. They call them something.
Oh, I don't know. I call them.
Heather said it before. I'll have to ask Heather.
Well,
it's the ones who actually talk back.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is a public announcement here. I'm begging my wife for another baby at this point.
Oh, like, God. I thought they were going to say they have one.
No, I'm begging. Like, she won't do it yet. I'm begging. Which it would have to be a God thing, because pretty much the doctor after the last ectopic pregnancy warned her not to. But, hey, God is faithful. And if he is faithful to give us the baby, I believe he's faithful enough to take care of her. But Kaylee basically volunteered to be our nanny if we have another one. So,
I did.
And so we're like, hear that, Heather? I want another baby. Like, I'm ready for eight.
Yeah. See, what I've been praying for is coming to fruition. You know, we got somebody to help.
If I got two more, then I can have a football team.
There you go.
That's what I'm looking for. All right. But baseball.
Little
team.
Do you all know, there's been other people praying, and
it's been
a waiting game of you all getting on the same page. For
this has been, whenever y'all are talking about it.
Because
yesterday.
when one wants it, the other one doesn't. I remember Aaron saying no.
Yeah. I remember.
Well, now that I feel good, like now that I'm like, I mean, I feel
he
good.
He can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I feel like, man, I'm not as old as I thought I was.
I think your daughter is probably the biggest one praying for
us. Yeah, she has been praying
a lot.
And I told him, I said, I'm okay with another adopted or another biological. I'm okay with either. But I keep asking.
See, but when you see children as a burden, then you're going to think that's crazy. Because that's what I used to see children as a burden in my younger teenage years, because
sure.
I didn't understand yet. Mm-hmm. The Lord hadn't. But, and so when my mom told me she was having another one at 41, I said, what? I said,
hey,
Lord,
what? You doing what?
This isn't you, right? What is this? And then, but now, like, I couldn't imagine life without Brett, my little brother.
Well, yeah.
He's so cute.
You know, like, there's when we shift our mindset from burden to blessing, and what children truly are, or anything that the Lord gives us.
Yeah.
You know, we have to shift our mindset.
Yeah.
And I think that just kind of goes along with our whole conversation about the joy.
I was passing him in the parking lot the other day, and I hear, "Brother Rick," and I'm like, you know, and they said, "That's Brett back there. He wants to talk to you." So I go back over there, and I'm trying to talk to him. I said, "Hey, Brett, how you doing?" Oh, he's just as quiet as he can be.
He shouts to you come.
Yeah. So yeah. So I've talked to him, and now I'm walking away. Bye, Brother Rick.
Well, at first I didn't know what he was saying because the th in brother, he wasn't saying it. He just got brr. Brr.
Yeah, brother.
Brother Rick.
Yeah. He always just calls pasta.
He calls me, Graceland calls me Kaylee Stone. And so now every time Brett sees me, he goes, "Hey, Kaylee Stone."
Yeah. And you know, that's like, and I, like, we're talking about children, and I just really feel like there is some parents that need to hear this out there.
Come on.
But also, it's about anything. Like, yesterday I was sitting there after, while they were kind of finishing on the broadcast, Roger was in here, and we've had a door that was broke for several days now, and I just went over there. I was like, "All right, I'm going to put the new thing on there." And it's easy to be like, "Oh, it's hot," or "I don't want to do this," or I've got this to work on. I want to stay here. I want to do this. And yet, it's all how you think.
That's it.
It's really, and it's not about, like, I can think and I can manifest. That's not it. Like, it's the perspective that you're going to live in and the kingdom perspective, because in my mind, I've got to see it as yesterday when I was opening, fixing that door, I can say every soul that enters this door. It's not just another maintenance task. The door's opening for souls to come in. The door's, yes. I'm fixing the door opener so this door can open so souls and more souls can come in. And it's just how we live our life. You got to stop and listen. This is what's happened to me once I got off social media. This is what I think I'm growing the most in this, is being away from social media and staying away from the inoculation and the brainwashing of our culture that wants you to think pessimistically, wants you to clickbait, wants you to be scared, wants you to do this, because you go on there and you say, "My toenail hurts." Before you know, you've got cancer in 17 different parts of your body because of what the internet told you, or 10 things you do right now that you are going to give yourself this kind of cancer or that kind of thing. And it's all about fear, and it's all about this. And once I've left this nonsense behind, I don't have something in my ear all the time. I don't have all this nonsense in my ear. I don't got all this junk in my ear. I want to see through the perspective of the Father. And I'm starting to even see now, like, you know, sometimes we mess up in life.
That's right.
And the Lord doesn't overlook that. But also, the Lord's not waiting to beat you. Like, He loves you. And He's working it out. And He so loved you that He's already died for the sin that you committed. And you know what? The sin you'll maybe... I mean, you don't have to. Let me clarify that. You're not bound. You're dead to sin. But if you sin tomorrow, He so saw that already, He died for it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because He loved us. And it's not to excuse sin. Like, gosh,
no.
Just listen to us preach for a day, and you'll understand we're against sin.
Yes.
But, man, we got to stop. Just, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it. But He came in to give us life, and life more abundantly. And we need to live in the freedom of the Lord. We need to live in what God has accomplished in the cross. But we've also got to live what Romans tells us, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. For that is the kingdom of God.
And he came bringing solutions.
Yeah.
He did not just rant about the problems.
That's right. And you know, once you pray... and you ask for forgiveness, that's underneath the blood. Get over it and get past it. Now quit dwelling on what you did again, like I said earlier, yesterday. If you've got it under the blood, you've asked God for forgiveness, today live a better day. Quit doing what you've been doing.
It's gonna be a good day.
Yeah. It's a good day.
It is finished by the blood.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
All right, we got 15 seconds. Final words for everybody.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm able to be here today.
Praise the Lord.
Normally I don't have these little one-liner things, but I got this from Miss Elizabeth Higdon. Goes along with something Pastor Aaron said. Where the mind goes, the man follows.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Put the right glasses on today. Again? Oh, my gosh. We're going to get an air tag and attach it to Kaylee's glasses. All right. Yeah, but put the right glasses on today. Don't be the reason somebody else's day is ruined.
Oh, come on.
And don't be the reason that your day is ruined. Trust the Lord.
Trust the Lord.
Have rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes.
Not everything's got to go your way. That's a word.
That's my word.
Receive that word. Not everything's got to go your way. Because we really want everything to go His way.
Amen.
Mine was the word before that. Don't be the reason your own day's ruined. That's my word.
Lean not up on your own understanding.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back in here with Brother Bjork and Brother Jason here in just a minute.